How do you do? Come with us, won't you? We'll meet a young man who was shy, overweight, and afraid of people during high school. But he came out of himself when he began to play with crime and drugs. His new confidence brought him no happiness until his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Well, look, man, we know you were just hired on here, and the other clerks, well, we want to know if you're on the level.
What's it mean to be on the level, working a clerk's job in a men's clothing store?
Well, you don't know about the little game we got going on here.
Customers come, customers go. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Let me clue you in.
All right, what gives?
Listen hard. Hey, we got some friends that come into this joint looking for the fine threads, see? And they walk out of here with the fine threads under their arms, see? But we don't take their money from them.
Like the Salvation Army, huh? Clothes for the needy.
You got class, kid.
What's in it for you?
Dope and bread.
You're kidding.
Oh, would I do that?
Guys walk into the store, slip you some drugs or money, and you pass out a suit of clothes?
Only the best.
Nobody gets caught?
Look, kid, it's a new store. We ain't got a manager here. There's nobody to know the difference.
The company doesn't keep any inventory?
Nah, none of that stuff. Listen, we got the safest operation in Chicago.
I've never been one to stand in the way of progress. Count me in all the way.
From Chicago, Crossroads of America, Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true stories of real people. Since it first opened over 100 years ago, the men and women of Chicago's streets have found help at what has come to be called the Old Lighthouse. Those who come to Pacific Garden Mission find food, clothing, lodging, and medical and dental care, and all are free. As these basic needs are met, trained counselors share with our guests the greatest need of all men, peace with God, and how their lives can be filled to overflowing. This program reaches to almost every corner of the world. More people than ever before hear Unshackled because some listening have made it their business to help make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. A young man growing up in the 1960s faced a lot of new influences. One of them, drugs. And the easy access that made the temptation all the harder to resist. Of course, drugs cost money, and so they led many users into other kinds of trouble. You'll hear about it as we bring you the true story of Kit Stanich, right now on Unshackled.
I was a social wipeout in high school, chubby and withdrawn. I never once even went on a date. But all I did was come home from school, listen to records, watch TV, and go to movies. Okay, I was big enough to play football, but I never made first string. Friends? I knew Chubby Checker, Ricky Nelson, the Beach Boys. Well, at least I knew the lyrics to all their songs. Things began to change for me, though, when I got involved in a school play.
Kit, I think you'll do just fine for this part in the winter play.
I've never been in a play before, Miss Humphrey.
Oh, you're a natural. Now, I hope you and Jack can help each other. Have you met?
In a way. Aren't you the kid who took out my sister last weekend?
Yeah. You're Sheila's brother, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I guess we're both in the play, huh?
You'll love it. Hey, a couple of the guys are getting together after the rehearsal. Want to come?
Sure. Sounds great. I didn't know that the group included Andy Morgan, most popular kid in school. Through Jack, I got to meet another guy, too, Skip Hurd. The four of us got along real well. We got to be like a gang, always doing everything together. These new friends and the school play helped me to start to come out of my shell.
Look, Kit, all the guys are taking girls to the party after the play.
Why don't you ask Debbie or Pat or even Janet? They'd go with you.
Nah, I don't want to.
But it'll be fun.
You guys go ahead. I'll see you later for a beer.
Your day is coming, Buster.
They kept at me, and one day I actually did ask a girl to go to a party with me. Everything seemed okay until I went to drop her off. She stood there on the porch waiting, and not knowing what else to do, I pecked her on the cheek. She looked at me and said, "Wow, big first." I was so embarrassed, I turned red and just walked away.
Come on, don't let a bad trip get you down.
You mean with girls?
With anything, like this stuff here.
What's that?
It's a new kind of cigarette. Just came out. You roll it yourself, you light up, and it makes you feel real good.
What do you call it?
Marijuana.
You're kidding. Where did you get that?
It doesn't matter. Want to try it?
Nah, I don't smoke.
You never smoked anything before?
Nope.
It's a kick, man. You'll love it.
How's it work?
Look, you take a hit real slow and easy. Try it.
Nah.
Come on.
Okay. Slow and easy, huh? So I got into booze and drugs. Once introduced, I couldn't quit. I liked the good feeling it gave me. After high school days were over, I stayed with it, even when I went over to work in a big warehouse. There, I soon got into trouble. My boss called me into his office for a serious talk.
You've been here at our company for 5 or 6 months now, haven't you?
About that.
We don't ask a lot of our employees here. Just a warehouse, after all. Not very exciting work.
It's okay.
But one thing we do ask, I ask, of all of my employees is honesty. Now, this noon, I noticed in the back seat of your automobile a rubber connector that is the property of Western Electric. That was in your car, Mr. Stanich, and I don't think it belongs to you, does it?
Hey, what the heck are you doing snooping around my car?
The point, Mr. Stanich, is that you have company property in your possession.
So what about a crummy hunk of rubber?
It's called stealing, Mr. Stanich.
It's not worth 2 bits.
Only a matter of degrees. The principle is the same.
Stuff disappears from this warehouse all the time. Big stuff. Why pick on me for a lousy rubber blackjack?
Do you make a habit of taking property that doesn't belong to you?
Hey, listen, you stay away from my car, hear you, big creep?
You're through, Stanich. You get out of this office and get out of my warehouse.
I worked in a lot of places after that. Finally, I got a job in a men's store that opened up near my home. That's when my big trouble started. We didn't have a manager watching over us, and it was just too easy to cheat. So when friends came in looking for fine threads, we just handed out suits and slacks and anything else they wanted. They brought us drugs or sometimes car stereo equipment they had just ripped off from some vehicle in the mall parking lot. Things were going fine until the company pulled a surprise inventory. I waited a week so as not to look too suspicious, then quit. Maybe, just maybe, the company would figure the bad guys were gone and let bygones be bygones. I knew better when a police car stopped in front of the house and 2 policemen came to the door.
Your name, Kit Stanich?
That's right.
You're under arrest, Mr. Stanich.
You must have the wrong guy.
Will you step outside, please?
Now? Just like that?
You don't have to make a statement at this time, and you're entitled to have a lawyer.
For what? My father, a retired army man, was working as a parole officer. He knew the law, but he also had a heart for guys in trouble. Even me. He put up bail money and then helped me work out a deal with the state's attorney who was prosecuting the case.
So that's it, kid. The store will drop charges if you'll enlist in the service. It's your first offense, and the court is lenient on first-timers.
Either the army or jail, huh?
Those are the choices.
I guess I'll sign up.
The army is no picnic, son. You'll feel like you're in jail sometimes. Learn something from it, will you?
Sure, Dad. I'll learn something. I sure did learn something. Basic training fried the fat off me. Then I was shipped out to Okinawa, where I stayed for 2 years. I was a photo lab technician there, but the learning that really got to me wasn't army drill or photography. Something heavier than that.
Hey, Kit, I got a deal for us.
How much and how fast?
Look, we've been in this pigsty long enough to know the ropes.
Way too long.
CO pulls inspection, we hide the dope. He never finds out.
Hey, he knows about it. He just doesn't know what to do about it.
Right, man, right.
The dogs, they don't find anything either.
Right. So here's what I figure. I got this friend, see? And he can get the purest, whitest, cleanest stuff anywhere. He wants me to deal for him. I'm looking for a partner. What do you say?
Heroin?
There's big bucks in smack, man. Triple our money on everything we buy.
But heroin, that's goofy stuff.
You don't use it, just sell it. We'll be rich.
Either rich or dead. My 2 years on Okinawa were one long drug trip. The guys in my unit did chemicals on weekends and weed during the week. It was a way of life. I stayed away from heroin, but a lot of guys were into it. I got shipped out to the States just before the barracks turned into one long heroin party. Back home, I tried to explain to my dad that marijuana was harmless.
I'm sorry you think that, son. Marijuana is the first step. Harder drugs are never far behind.
That's just not true. Grass is not addicting. I'll prove it. That box of stuff I sent home from overseas?
Yes.
There are three candles in there. They're hollow, filled with the best grass in all the Orient.
You're kidding. You sent that stuff through the army mails?
It's easy. Everybody does it.
You know the penalty for that?
Nah. We play dumb. Tell them we didn't know it was wrong. The army doesn't really care.
I doubt that.
Well, anyway, I've got a big bag of real good grass. You keep it. Keep it until I finally get out of the army. That'll prove that I'm not addicted. You'll see. Down at Fort Hood for my last 6 months in the service, I went clean, just to show my dad and myself that I was still in control. Those last 6 months in the army were the longest days of my life. I hated it. But in the boredom, I did some serious thinking about my life. I was looking for something to do or to be that meant something. Once or twice, I went to the post chapel, but didn't find much. Whatever I was trying to find wasn't in a beer can or drugs. These things sort of cluttered life, so it didn't seem quite so empty. But the real emptiness was still there, and I knew it. I was coming to the end of my army time, no better off than when I went in, except for being a good many pounds lighter.
In a moment, we'll take you back to the true story of Kit Stanage. Now, here's Superintendent Harry Saulnier of Pacific Guard Mission. Harry, it's time to talk to our friends about the annual Christmas party that we hold for the people of the street. It's been going on for as long as I've known the old lighthouse, and I'm sure that it'll take place again this year.
We're already making extensive plans for it, and our friends who listen can help if they wish. You see, on this special occasion, we want to be able to give out gifts that are not at all the same as the used but serviceable items of clothing we give to people the year round. On this occasion, we think of simple and inexpensive things that are thoroughly practical, but which have been chosen with care as gifts.
Now, examples of those things that are known to be most needed are, well, here are some of them, sweaters and jackets for outdoor wear. And this is true for both women and men, and it's true for children. Then there are blouses and shirts, hosiery, undergarments, caps and gloves. What about sizes? Well, choose as you wish. The people of the street come to us in a big variety of shapes and sizes.
Because of the question of size, however, and because we want to do our best in every way to see that the right gift goes to the right person, we deliberately do not ask that you wrap your selection as a gift. This would be an unnecessary expense and bother for you. without gift wrappings, our people can assign the gifts most effectively.
We do suggest this. Make your selection thoughtfully. There is something very effective about the realization by the person who receives the gift that somewhere out there, someone unseen has been concerned enough to take the time to choose with care, thoughtfully, prayerfully, we hope. That puts Christmas just a little more in perspective for the people who receive the gifts.
Gifts for the Christmas party for the people of the street should reach us real soon.
Our address is Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. We're bringing you the last of a group of true stories about four young men who went from trouble to triumph, each in his own way, and who came out, all four of them, at the same solution. Now we return to the story of one of them, Kit Stanage.
I got out of the Army a real doper. So when I came back to Chicago and found that Jack was a doper, too, that was cool. We got an apartment and had some wild times doing booze and dope and girls. And then these weird people showed up at our friend's apartment complex, and strange things began to happen.
Have you met those two chicks that moved in right above Brother Andy?
Yeah, I saw them. Not bad, huh?
But they're coming on pretty strong with the religious ramp.
Andy don't buy that, does he?
I think he's getting into it.
That is just too much to believe.
Hey, you ought to meet these girls. How about you and me taking them out some night, okay?
Sure, I suppose, but let's stay off the religious trip, huh? They were nice girls. Barb was the militant one. Sue was a little more cool about her religion. She didn't harp about it all the time. And she was beautiful.
I've really had a nice time tonight, Kit.
Me too. Hey, suppose I could see you, like, maybe tomorrow after dinner? Hey, we could cruise down to Old Chicago. You ever been there?
Oh, I'd love to. But, you know, tomorrow is our Bible study at the apartment. Say, would you like to come? Oh, we'd love to have you.
Oh, no, not my thing. Maybe I'll call you when your Bible class is over.
Oh, okay, but you're welcome to come, too.
Sue and I got along. She was beautiful, and I was just out of the Army, and something clicked between us. Except for the matter of our differences on religion.
Happy birthday, Kit.
Hey, how did you know?
Oh, my secret informers told me.
When a guy hits 18, it's hard to keep it a secret.
Oh, come on, you're older than that.
You think so?
Silly, you're 24.
Right again, you've got good informers.
Here, this is a little present I got for you.
Really? I didn't expect anything.
Oh, I hope you like it.
Like it? A Bible? A big, old, thick Bible? Well, look here. Underlined and everything. For the convenience of the reader, huh?
Yeah, well, I underlined some special verses that I thought you'd like to read.
Well, sure. I suppose I would. What was I going to do with a Bible? I mean, where would I put it? If any of my friends saw that in my apartment, they would croak. I just threw it on the shelf and forgot about it. Or should I say, try to forget about it. Sue's friend Barb put on a personal campaign to get me converted. Finally, I told her to lay off, to quit pushing Jesus. I don't hurt anybody, you don't hurt anybody. Let's just leave it at that. I think she got the message, but to my great regret, so did Sue.
Well, it's not that we don't have a good time, Kit. That's not it at all.
Then what's the problem? I thought we had a good thing going.
Well, I want to be your friend. It's just that I can't go out steadily with you. It wouldn't work.
Why not, Sue? Am I a drag? Do I dress crummy?
No, it's just that the person who is center of my life is Jesus Christ.
Oh, no, not religion again.
No, not religion. You see, being a Christian is a personal relationship with the Son of God. He is with us. We commit our lives to Him. Well, that's different than just going through some motions.
You're going to let an idea, a lousy idea, get between us?
Oh, no, kid.
It's absurd. You've been putting me on all this time just to get me converted.
No, honest.
You and Barb and all the other hypocrites, you make me sick. All right, I was wrong to make her cry. But I had a right to some happiness, too. The problem was I couldn't find any. Even Jack, my best friend, wasn't around anymore. He had been gone from our apartment for 2 whole weeks. Then he showed up.
Man, I'm sorry. I should have told you. I've been staying at Andy's.
Yeah, well, I was getting worried. I thought you might have OD'd or something.
Nope, no OD. Something better.
Yeah?
I became a Christian.
That's cool.
It's like being clean, man.
I figured you were getting into that scene. I mean, being at Andy's and all.
We're praying for you, too, kid.
Who is?
The Bible study group. We're praying for you.
Look, good buddy, you tell those yo-yos at the Bible class that everything is cool on this end. Nobody prays for me. Get it? You tell them that. First Skip, then Andy, now Jack. All of them claiming to be Christians, and all of them praying for me, even though I told them to forget it. I knew that they wouldn't. About a week later, I cooled down and decided to get some straight answers. Hi, Skip.
Hey, kid. What brings you out of the rat's nest so early on a Saturday morning, huh?
Bad night.
Yeah? Well, say, grab a broom. Help me clean up this parking lot.
Tell me something.
Yeah.
Are you guys on the level? I mean, what's all this about?
Has it got you kind of confused?
Confused? If Andy asks me one more time what I think about religion, I'm going to deck him. Man, that guy bugs me.
Well, you know him. He gets excited.
Look, let me ask you some questions.
Sure. I got all day. Fire away.
It took all day to get my questions and frustrations out. Skip was a good listener, and he calmed me down just by trying to understand the feelings I was struggling with. I stayed for dinner with him and Mickey, his wife, and about 9 o'clock that night, Jack and Andy came over and asked me to go out with them. Okay, I said, just as long as we don't get into religion. Later that night, about 1 in the morning, I went to the door of Jack's room, and we had a long and serious conversation. So being a Christian isn't trying to reform?
Not on your own.
It's letting God work out your life with His power?
That's about as good as anyone could have put it. The Bible says we need to give our lives over to God through faith in Christ, to ask forgiveness for the wrong that we've done, and to let Christ take over.
Okay. I think I understand. I'll have to think about it. I lay in bed, for the first time overcome with the perversity of the life I was living. Alone in the stillness of the night, praying seemed like a natural thing to do. Oh God, I've got these friends who say you can do it. Okay, I'll give it a try. I'm a bum, but I'll let you make things better if you can. Those simple words, spoken sincerely from the heart, were like an elephant stepping off my chest. I opened that Bible Sue had given me and started reading. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen. Great words. I cried as I read them. It might have been just coincidence, but some kids right below my apartment window started shooting off firecrackers just then, and I couldn't help but think that those were for me. My celebration of new life in Christ. The days that followed were filled with excitement for me. Once, early in the morning at work, I went to the coffee machine for a cup of the stuff that would wash down my speed pills. I took pills all the time to stay awake at work. Twice I put coins in the machine. Twice, no cup. It was like God was speaking to me, saying, "You don't need these pills. Just count on me." I was excited to think that God was really helping me. I flushed the pills down the toilet and never used them again. Another time, after a particularly strenuous day, I came home to roll a joint. In that instant, God gave me a taste of my former life with all its demonic influence, and I raced into the bedroom, threw a pillow over my head, and asked for God's forgiveness. I haven't tried marijuana since.
Kit began attending church in Aurora, Illinois, and there gave his life for full-time Christian service. He enrolled at Trinity College, Deerfield, Illinois, and is now at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, preparing for the ministry. God had worked a complete miracle with that old high school gang. The same Lord who changed Kit Stanich and Skip Hurd and Andy Morgan and Jack Berghorst, who brought healing and power to their lives, can change your life too. To learn more about it, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in Europe, address Unshackled, care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Write to us this week and tell us that you hear Unshackled. And then join us next week for another true story of a life changed. By the way, while you're in a mood to write a letter, what about a letter to the manager of this radio station? To him, just say, "Thanks very much for Unshackled." Heard in the true story of Kit Stanich were Jack Bivens, Mickey Hurd, Kim Rasmussen, and Roger Mueller. Kit Stanich was Kit Stanich. Original music, Lucille Becker. The story was written by Mark Fackler as he received it from Mr. Stanich. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it really can be filled to overflowing. Write to us this week. And if you need spiritual help now, call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. Area 312-922-1462.